Only a few days ago, on Friday, we had a very joyful celebration here in our cathedral church, when at 5:30 p.m. we began the ordination mass to the priesthood for now Father Raymond Kalema, who is now the newest priest of the Diocese of Spokane. And just for the sake of context, this has been the first ordination that we've had since my own ordination in 2015. Certainly a celebration a long time in coming. At the same time, I know that with our own awareness of what's been going on in the church in the past year and being pummeled by seemingly bad news after more bad news, some people may kind of see this joyfulness amidst a cloud. And also, in response to worry about corruption, human ambition, some people may seek a return to something that's much more simple, maybe apostolic even. I could think of our non-Catholic brothers and sisters who may look at what we did on Friday and be critical. Where did this come from? All this complexity, these ranks of different orders and ministries of deacon, priest, bishop, cardinals, having liturgies so complex that you need to have specialized people to tell people what to do. Where did this come from? I would like to, and they may ask, well, just keep it simple. For instance, what Jesus said in the gospel today, I give you a new commandment, love one another. Just do that. Love one another as I loved you. Read the Bible. Why do we need these structures and these fundraisers and all these institutional human stuff? What I propose to you today, as we reflect upon these readings, to see that how the church has developed under the guidance of the Holy Spirit has been in the service of this commandment of love. Granted, that is a very large topic. We don't have time to cover everything exhaustively, obviously. However, to focus specifically on the matter of ordination, of a hierarchical ordering within the church, how is that in the service of love? Let us remind ourselves what our Lord said in our gospel today at the Last Supper. He says, I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. What is this love? This love is more than simply being affectionate, of tolerance, of you do your thing, I do my thing, and we'll just all get along. This love is a crucifixion style of love, agape, self-sacrificial love. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says. When a few moments ago, before that, he said to his disciples, this is my body given for you. This is my blood, to be poured out the blood of the new covenant. This love that we're called to is no mere human love, but divine love, supernatural love. And to feed that love, at that same Last Supper, Jesus instituted two sacraments. Obviously, the sacrament of the Eucharist, and also the sacrament of holy orders, to perpetuate that sacrament of the Eucharist to the end of the age. But how do we get from that Last Supper meal to the rite of ordination that was celebrated this past Friday? I would direct our attention to the first reading today that comes from the Acts of the Apostles. This is telling the story today about the conclusion of Paul and Barnabas's first missionary journey when they went out to Galatia. Right? We hear about the letter to the Galatians. That's when Paul met the Galatians for the first time, departing from Antioch and looping around to Galatia. And now he's doubling back. They've made converts. They've argued with people who would not accept Christ. They've baptized people. And now they're coming back through to exhort and encourage these new Christian believers, to tell them, stand fast. Know that part of discipleship is hardship, but be true to our Lord. But they did more than that. As St. Luke, the author of the Acts of the Apostles, wrote, they, Paul and Barnabas, appointed elders for them, that is, the disciples in these new churches. They appointed elders. The word that is translated as elder in Greek is presbyteros. Presbyteros. That Greek word then becomes the basis of the word presbyter, which then we now more has become the word priest. They appoint, essentially what they say, what Luke is describing is the appointing of priests, or maybe bishops, it's a little fuzzy, but appointed. And furthermore, the word for appointed is to extend or stretch forth hands. If you've ever been to an ordination, you know that one of its principal gestures is when the bishop lays hands upon the head of the man to be ordained, and afterward, with outstretched hands, prays the prayer of ordination. What we see here in kind of embryonic form, vaguely described, is some primitive description of ordination, of men being chosen and appointed, ordained for service in their local church. He says they appointed elders for them, for the disciples. And that is good to know, because I imagine we may be tempted to think that, and may despair is looking at the human corruption that may infiltrate any group of human beings. It can be all the more despairing and scandalous to see that within our own church, which is to be the mystical body of Christ. And to say, like, well, this hierarchy, this structure seems to be about power or authority or oppression. But no, it is a sacrament in service to that divine love which God commanded his disciples to carry on at the Last Supper. This divine love presented through the priesthood. I understand that this past week, on Wednesday, this parish was very blessed to host a production of the one-man play Vianney, about the life and ministry of St. John Vianney. John Vianney, the patron saint of priests, said very famously that the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. The priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. To say that these men, unworthy as they are, but called by God to be ordained priests as shepherds in the midst of their flocks, are to embody the nothing less than the divine love of Jesus' heart, to embody through their own lives and their ministry and sacrifice the crucifixion style of love of Jesus Christ. And more than that, in their celebration of the sacraments, to make that love present and efficacious. As in one of the scenes in this play, a young boy is interacting with John Vianney and says, well, it looks like to be a priest is boring. Yeah, I don't know what you do. And John Vianney says very tenderly, oh no, it's not boring. It is marvelous. If you could think that if Mary was right here, she could not tell her son to enter that piece of bread and become it and to turn that into himself. If there were 200 angels here, they could not forgive sins. But a priest can. I think of a thought from St. Louis de Montfort, who talks about if there were two confessionals, and if there was a priest in one and Jesus in the other, I imagine everyone will go to Jesus because in his perfect mercy he'll be far more merciful than the priest, right? Because he is the most merciful one. But when it comes to giving forgiveness, the absolution that comes from the priest is the same as the absolution that comes from Christ. Such is the responsibility entrusted to these ordained ministers in service of giving the love of God to others. and with that Eucharist for us to be fed. As a church, we seek to be united with Christ, and we believe that through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the church has grown from its embryonic form during the age of the apostles to become what it is today. We know that there is always need for pruning, for conversion, for cutting back those things that have been added on, not through God's will, but by human ambition or blindness. Yet at the core of it is the call to exercise and demonstrate divine love. For us, how can we live that out? What is our response today? For one thing, as members of this cathedral parish, I invite you and exhort you to pray for more vocations to the priesthood, to come from our own parish, the Cathedral of Our Lady of Lourdes, that who knows, within maybe 26 years at the soonest for these infant boys in the pews, maybe 10 years, maybe a little closer for some of the older ones here, that they may have the courage to say yes to that powerful and awesome vocation to be the love of the heart of Jesus to their people. And for us, as we benefit from the sacraments of the church and are fed by that divine love, we also cannot shirk that responsibility to love one another as Jesus has loved us, to be willing to sacrifice for each other, which includes accompanying each other and suffering with each other. Instead of ignoring our friend who is dying because death is uncomfortable, to be with that person. Instead of holding grudges and anger because we feel like that is our way of control, to sacrifice that and seek forgiveness and reconciliation. To allow ourselves in humility and vulnerability to share our faith with others. And with prayer and fasting, commend each other to God. This is our various ways, taking its different forms guided by the Holy Spirit, to fulfill Christ's commandment to us, love one another as he has loved us.